The following program is brought to you in living color.
I won a night of wine tasting from work.
That sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do enjoy the complexity of an aged Pinot Noir.
I'm sure that would pair nicely with your five nuggets of chicken.
Well, it sounds like a nice night. We should go.
Wine again? Yeah, no thank you. I like my grapes the old-fashioned way, in a juice box.
Now life's chunk will suck the will right out ya. Hold on, Lord, I can't do without ya. Seems like a lot of gray in the world. Women, wine, a song. Women, wine, a song. We'll make it all move along to a lovely beat.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host, Laura Lawson.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask. That's what we are here for. We are your media resource for everything about our wonderful, charming, outstanding little grape.
Wow.
Yes.
Complimentary today.
I am.
Because?
Because I have to admit, this is a very special thank you going out to all of our wonderful listeners. Today marks 10 years for the Wine Crush being on the air.
10 years we have been doing this.
10.
10 years ago we got you in here and said, sit behind this mic and talk about wine.
It was actually, for those of you who don't know, it's a pretty fascinating story on how this show even remotely came to be.
I don't even think I know it. I don't know the background.
Yes. For those of you who follow this, we are a production of the Performance Racing Network.
Which is strange in itself.
Which is unique. And for those of you that don't know, Performance Racing Network is NASCAR oriented.
Yes.
It's Charlotte Motor Speedway. It's all of Bruton Smith Speedways across the country. And they have gorgeous studios designed around NASCAR. Well, apparently the powers that be upstairs were getting together over several glasses of something one night and decided, we've got these beautiful studios, we need to do something besides NASCAR.
Absolutely.
It sounds like a great idea. So they kicked a whole bunch of things around, finally looked around, looked at their glass and said, hey, wine's popular. Let's do a wine show.
Yeah.
And so our fearless leader, Mr. Doug Rice, went around, started petitioning people. Who do you know that knows something about wine? And somehow, some way, he asked three different people, and my name came up three different times.
That's right.
So I had been having a little bit of fun. I had been partaking in the grape. And my phone rang, and I didn't know the number. And back then, I was stupid enough to answer numbers I didn't know. I still would pick up the phone because we had the old flip phones back then. Answered it, and it was Doug saying, hi, I'm Doug Rice. I'm like, so? And like I said, I had had several cocktails. And as he continued on, he said, well, I hear you're a wine expert. I would like to talk to you about doing a radio show. And my hand to God, I thought it was two of my friends that had gotten together.
You thought, yeah.
And were playing a joke on me. So I thought, oh, yeah, fun. So I was not on my best behavior during that phone call. And finally, I got off the phone, and Doug, bless his heart, he persevered. I guess apparently I was showing some sense of humor and decided, well, tell you what, tomorrow, if you change your mind and you decide you want to do a wine show, here's my number. Call me. Proceeded to call my two friends and cuss them out and say, what the hell are you thinking? They're like, Laura, we didn't put them up to it. And thus, the Wine Crush was born.
There it happened.
Yeah, there it happened.
Oh, gosh.
So, 10 years of adventure.
Now, I should tell people, when we first started, there was a main host, and you were actually the co-host at the time.
Yes.
Michael Ambrose, who will be joining us here.
He was calling in to give his well wishes.
Yeah. And I was brought in just to kind of coach for a little bit and do the tech work. And then we got you a real producer for a while, which I got to play this. I got to play this right now.
All right.
This is, they used to produce the show, I guess, with, and this is a guy named Mark Allen, who also did racing here for a while, but is also a wonderful producer that Laura probably, I think he's probably in a home now going, blah, 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 after working with you for a while.
Well, he's supposed to be dealing with professional talent, and he got me.
That's right. And so you guys used to produce, I guess, in segments and with Mark in your ear all the time.
Yes.
I learned that didn't work, so. Here's Mark giving you some instructions.
Oh, my.
Because I think you put your hand over your mouth while you were talking one time. I don't know. Here it is.
Okay, keep your hand away from your mouth, please. Thank you.
Yes, Mom.
You just covered your mouth. That's what happened there.
Okay. Yes, Mom.
That's fine. Okay, and another. Okay, do a reset of phone and email. And, Michael, you do the reset, and we have another call on the line. And we have a call on the line.
Yes, Mom. Yes, Mom. He got more respect than I do.
Oh, that's just, hey, now keep in mind too, 10 years ago, I knew nothing about radio. I'm not proclaiming that I do now, but I was really trying to learn something. I was trying to follow direction. I was trying to think, well, my God, these are people who are passionate and this is what they've studied for and radio is their life.
Yeah.
So I was going to at least try and be good for a while.
Well, Mark used a different approach though, the tape in segments, the coach in between and all this other stuff. We found out that didn't work with you. Just wind her up, let her go, and put it on the air. That's what works.
I'll never forget the first time I tried to sit down. Mark handed me and Michael Ambrose a script.
Yeah, I remember. You should write a script. Ha! Boy, that worked real well, didn't
that
it?
That did. I think the conversation went along
the lines
of... You guys
need to set fire to it and smoke it.
Yes. Mark, sweetheart, what are the 7 words again I can't say?
That's right.
Put them all together. Let's go from there.
That's right. I felt so sorry for him sometimes.
And look at what happened. We put him into the funny farm, and look at where you got stuck.
That's right. And he's saving me a room over at the funny farm. I'll be there soon, Mark.
Oh, you've made it. Don't worry. Lightened up. I figure, see, for all of you out there, the whole point of the Wine Crush started out was to make wine simple, to make wine approachable. And there were some interesting things happening in 2007, and this was hard to put these things together. But two really interesting things happened in 2007 that totally affect where we are 10 years from now. The first is, obviously, we had the lending, the banks, the foreclosures, the housing bubble burst across the country.
That's right.
And led us into a recession, which pretty much was the death of high-end wine there for a while. And don't laugh, the second thing that happened in 2007, the iPhone was released.
2007.
You put those two things together, and it literally changed. In 10 years, there have been more changes in the wine world and the wine business than there had in the previous 100 years.
In 10 years ago, if you wanted information on wine, what did you do? I mean, you went to the internet. There was some on the internet, but what were you doing then?
Well, it was great because 10 years ago, they were just starting, you were able to Google. And I should have looked this up. Wine Spectator had started their website. Mm-hmm. I know that The Advocate had not, but you had your big magazine, shiny, glossy publications, and they're the ones, that was your font of knowledge.
Yeah.
That's where you went. Anything else you found, you literally were still going to the books. Back then, you could try, most wineries had something resembling a website. You could type in www.beringerwineestates.com and you could read something or at least get a map or an address. But as far as straight up information at your fingertips, there was next to nothing. We were still, in fact, I won't ever forget this, Michael Ambrose and I came in and we actually moved a whole bunch of reference volumes from our house into the studio.
Mm.
So that if we needed to get in an argument or we were going to have a debate over the production of Malbec and Cahors, both of us could go grab our books and point out where it was.
But these reference books were how old?
Oh, they were current.
Because it's ever-changing.
It was. You look at it, literally a new version would come out every year of Connoisseur's Guide, a new version, the Ultimate Buying Guide to Wine. Another thing I should have looked up, I think Wine for Dummies came out then because we were on a Wine for Dummies kick. I remember buying 2 copies when they came out. I remember throwing one at Ambrose saying, here, you might want to read up. So being the kind, loving co-host that I was.
Yes.
So
yes.
Definitely a lot has changed. Thank y'all for sticking with us today. It's fun. I can say visit me at winecrush.com. I can say go to my Facebook page at Wine Crush Radio.
Yeah.
I can say follow me at Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. And of course, Kent has his own email for all the hate mail now that France kept sending.
Yes.
And that would be KentBernhardt@winecrush.com.
Yes. Sharpening my diplomatic skills, trying to keep things good with France.
Yes.
Well, no one else is.
You know, that's a good thing. I don't think I have gotten threatened or PRN's gotten threatened with a suit in a good 2 years.
Probably been at least.
At least.
Probably been at least.
See, yeah. Oh my God, Kent, I am just like a fine wine.
Who is the guy?
I am mellowing with age.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes.
Who was the guy we had on that opened a bottle of wine with a sword?
Jerome Jandon.
Jerome Jandon. Sounds like a character in Talladega Nights.
He was like a character. He worked for Champagne Tattinger at that point.
Okay.
He was the Tattinger ambassador. And
we went outside with microphones and we let him open a bottle of wine.
Yes.
Champagne, actually.
It was a bottle of champagne. You don't saber. You really shouldn't saber anything but bubbles. And if I remember correctly on that, too, you had to use the beep button about every 5 seconds.
That was the heavy edited show.
Yes.
Heavily edited.
Mm-hmm. I think we call that redacted now.
Yes.
So we're going to have fun today. We are going to do some comparisons between 2007, 2017, where we were then, where we are now. We've got a number of guests coming in, not to mention I'm sure we'll have some drop-bys, but for sure, Michael Ambrose, the original co-host of the Wine Crush, is joining us. Dan Cohn, who was one of the first guests for the Wine Crush, is joining us. And Richard Hake, hopefully, will be calling in if we don't get too far off, because there was one chef that would stick with me. We have gone through chefs around here like most people go through Kleenex, because none of them understand that it is a wine and food show, not a food and wine show. I mean, we have had some stellar people on the show. Mario Batali's been on the show. Todd English has been on the show. But Richard is the one that kind of hung with us. He's mm-hmm. the one that understood the whole point. And the one thing I'll say consistently, and this will be the message through the crush, no matter what has happened in 10 years, the show is all about making wine simple. It is about making wine approachable, and it's about making sure that you don't have special occasions, that you don't save that bottle, that wine is to be enjoyed. And anytime you get it, it's to enjoy your friends and your company. Whether it pairs with the food, whether you have the right glasses, it doesn't matter. For those of you who are listening to the show for the first time, 10 years ago, when I got on the show and I gave the advice, someone, we would do live callers, and they would call in and they say, I don't have matching glassware. And I would say, I don't care if you serve it out of a mason jar. That was almost tantamount to sacrilege right there. And it's great to see that 10 years later, we have lost a good portion of the formality of wine. Look, there's absolutely nothing wrong with sitting down and having the gorgeous presentation and the wine presented and the bottle polished and a sommelier pouring it for you. It can enhance the experience. But wine is not about just the experience. It's not about subjecting yourself to all the rules and the regulations that we used to have with wine. Wine is an everyday beverage, just like you can put it in a sippy cup with a straw, just like today we're putting it in cans. It doesn't matter. It's to be enjoyed. And if you can't get through that, then you don't need to be focusing on formality. Formality means nothing if you don't like what's going in the glass. So we are having a lot of fun today. I hope you stick with us. This is going to be a long-winded show, so we're going to have some fun. We're going to laugh, and I think Kent has some nasty, nasty tricks up his sleeve.
Nasty stuff.
All right, we're going to take a quick break right here, and there's more of the 10th Anniversary Wine Crush coming up after this.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. That's 800-281-7048.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-542-6751. 1-800-542-6751. 1-800-542-6751.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
that was a joke.
Oh.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
We continue with another exciting episode of The Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. Again, this is our 10th anniversary show, and we are having all kind of fun with Old Home Week. And what would an anniversary for The Wine Crush be if we didn't invite that veritable font of information, Michael Ambrose, the co-host that started this whole debacle, back on the show. Michael, welcome back to The Wine Crush, darling.
Thank you, Laura. And congratulations. I've got to tell you, this is wonderful to know that you've been continuing this project in the fine tradition that we started.
Absolutely. I've only run off three producers. I've only been threatened to be sued twice. And I've already threatened to kill somebody on air maybe 15 times. So some things don't change.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you still have that spirit.
All right.
And by the way, I want to wish you happy Valentine's Day as well.
Yes.
Well, thank you. We certainly appreciate that. It's a celebration of anniversaries all the way around.
Indeed.
So we like that. All right. So for our listeners who have stuck with us since the beginning, there were a lot of you who thought I just buried Michael over in a corner. But Michael decided to move south on us, so we lost our co-host. But Michael, I've noticed from pictures, I've noticed from emails, and of course you and I see each other, you have not lost your grasp on the wine world. You haven't missed a beat. So something we're looking at is we are comparing and looking at the changes in the wine world in the last 10 years. And I know in the last 10 years, obviously, you have been in restaurants, you've been in clubs, you've been touring wine country. What are some things that stand out that have changed for you when you look at wine?
Well, I think there are so many more selections these days, and there are so many more options. You know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you had the old guard group of Napa Valley and Sonoma that most Americans sort of clung to. Now, there's just such a wide variety, particularly coming from Spain and some new parts of Italy and Corsica and different places like that. And, you know, I just got back from spending 16 days in Argentina and Chile, and I just was amazed at the quality of the wines and the excellent prices. And so there's, you know, there's a great situation going on where this quality is rising in places where maybe it wasn't quite so big years ago. Also, there are new grapes that are coming into prominence that nobody had heard of Torrontés 10 years ago. And certainly Carmenere was a lost dot on the spectrum of Bordeaux wines about 50 years ago. And these are wines that are really gaining prominence in particularly in Chile. And I just was highly, highly impressed with them.
There are some amazing. We saw that change probably about 6 years ago, people understanding Torontos. And again, something I'm going to focus back on several times is 2007, two things happened in 2007 that changed the wine as we know it forever. One, we had our recession and the housing bubble burst. And second, the iPhone came out. So all of a sudden, people could find, say, Torontos was coming in this country. It was $5.63. But then somebody, instead of having to wait on a sommelier to come to the table or some kind of club manager to come to the table, they could get on their phone and look up the word Torontos and know what it was supposed to be. Power at your fingertips all of a sudden.
No doubt. And I've got to tell you, on our tour, we had about 25 people there. And everybody seemed to have had an iPhone and were taking pictures and were looking up production numbers and were comparing quality. It was really interesting. Most of the folks were from the United States, but we had some people from Sweden and Finland. It was an all English spoken group, but very different and very varied in their opinions and ideas. So, but you're exactly right. You know, the price point is more important than it used to be. And certainly there are a lot of places that are going into far more detail, like biodynamic farming. That is a big deal down in Argentina and Chile right now.
It's something, believe it or not, with the movement started here in the States. And it's something that our foreign neighbors who were importing to us realized that, one, it was something they did all the time already. It didn't cross their mind to make a big to-do about it. It was natural farming. But two, they know that something as the American consumer values. We value that trust, that truth, the all-natural point of our wine. So it's a good thing. All right, Michael, it's funny. I got to pick on you a little bit. It was you said you had a group that spoke only English. You must have been sober the whole time, because I've heard you after about that fifth glass of wine, and what's coming out of your mouth definitely is not a version of English. All right, we're going to take, Michael, hang around. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to hear some more thoughts on how you think wine has changed in the past 10 years.
Okay, sounds great.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-989-0233. 800-989-0233. 800-989-0233. That's 800-989-0233.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the
country. When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest
trail.
When I grow
up, I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be
a... I want to be
a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org.
A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. My student loan is totally paid off.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. I paid more than the minimum each month, and soon enough, it was gone.
So you're just giving up?
Giving up on what?
The life of luxury. Egyptian cotton, caviar Thursdays, designer everything.
What are you talking about?
Our plan. What happened to winning the lottery and mastering the art of the perfect mimosa? Hosting galas, wearing enough jewelry to require a bodyguard, vacationing in the French Riviera, and then buying it.
I just thought maybe it was time to prepare for my future. You know, set some financial goals, make some smart investments, open a 401k.
Financial goals? Investments? A 401k? You are horrifying right now. Listen, if winning the lottery were easy, everyone would do it.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Oh. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Now it's back with more of the Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
Welcome back to the Crush. As Kent is so implementing, we are certainly reeling in the years around here. And as such, our guest right now is Mr. Michael Ambrose, the original co-host of the Wine Crush. All right, Michael, I know I had asked you specifically to come up with things that have changed in the last 10 years, but I'm gonna take you one better because a memory struck me while we were on that break. I think one of the biggest things we're seeing in the market right now is a change in people's drinking habits. But you and I have known each other for well over 20, maybe 25 years. And
right.
I remember one afternoon, probably about 15 years ago, it was a beautiful afternoon. I sat down on a veranda with you overlooking a golf course. And it was early in the afternoon. It was 1:30, 2 o'clock. And you decided you had the perfect beverage that you had just brought back with you that I had to try. And you came out with a little plate of cheese and this amazing rosé from Provence.
Oh, yeah.
And we sat on the patio. We're sitting there. We're sipping it. And I remember you looking at me and he said, Americans just don't get it. If they'll ever get to taste this, this will be one of the most popular wines around. And Michael, I got to give it to you. You were definitely a soothsayer there because I looked at you and said, oh, man, you're crazy.
Well, I know you were a Chardonnay girl, and it came to pass. You know, I think the big news was probably about 8 to 10 years ago when we found out that France was drinking more rosé than they were Chardonnay. And then it just seems to have spread tremendously. And something that's going on down here, because it's so hot and muggy here in Savannah, people have kind of given up on Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlots and even the Malbecs and are leaning much more towards Pinot Noirs and lighter and, you know, the Italian lighter wines such as, well, Brunello di Montalcino's and some of your Sangiovese based wines. So that's one thing that I've noticed tremendously. Now in Charlotte, what is going on in your end of the business, the wholesale end?
When you look at it as a whole, whether you're looking here in Charlotte, whether you're looking across the country, I think the rosés are definitely taking front and center. red blends and white blends. You know, just like you're saying, people are discovering Pinot Noir. I'm seeing everyone around the country, whether it's West Coast, East Coast, doing a whole lot of reds and the red blends. And what's great about it is it's two extremes. Something that Americans, I remember way back when we started, if you were drinking white Zin or something sweet, you did it very quietly. It was not on a list. You kind of hit it. But today, whether your red blend has 3% residual sugar in it or none, people don't care. People are finally accepting the fact they're going to drink whatever they want to, whenever they want to, and it doesn't matter what Mr. Jones or Mr. Harrington's actually tasting with them. So I yeah. absolutely love something like this.
Well, and so do I. And, you know, I still work a little part-time at a wine shop, and I've got to say this as well. You know, the new sweet wine, of course, is Moscato-styled wines. But they're also coming out with some really nicer quality Moscato wines that are not so sweet that they cause your teeth to fall out. And I think that's gaining a lot of prominence down here.
I think people are finding it, because if we look at what happened with the American Moscato, what we were bringing for Italy, it was geared to the sweet palate. But just like for decades, for centuries, you go and get an Italian Moscato di Asti, it's not overly sweet, it's great, and people are finding it. So it's fun to see everything coming back full circle. Where we were, where we started, the hidden gems that we knew 15 years ago are now no longer hidden. And I think that's probably one of the biggest keys we deal with in 2017. You and I had to go through books. You and I had to call and beg people. I felt like there was a time 10 years ago where we were doing a dirty drug deal in a parking lot to get our hands on a bottle of Araujo Syrah. 10 years later, everything is in front of us, everything is above board, and everybody has access to whatever they would like. And I think that's one of the coolest things that has happened.
Absolutely.
Well,
you
Michael,
know, I was just going to mention one thing to some of your listeners who just might be interested in a great wine trip. This is an unpaid solicitation, but let me just mention to you, BK Wines, and you can just Google BK Wines, they put on incredibly impressive trips. It was the most thoughtful trip that I have ever been on with a group, and I just highly recommend that people who want a full experience from one end to the other to check them out. You know, we went to 17 different wineries. We tasted and drank over 120 wines during 6 days, 16 days, I'm sorry. And I just think your listeners might benefit from that.
Well, I think that's wonderful. And coming from you, that's very high praise, as well as much as you've traveled. Well, Michael, I am glad to know that you are staying in touch with what is going on at the Wine World. And I appreciate you so much calling in today and being part of the show.
Well, we love you and hope that you'll make it down this way and come and see us.
You can count on it, Michael.
Before we lose Michael, would you guys like to play a little Wine Crush time capsule?
All right.
All right. See, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a question that you guys got on the air 10 years ago, and I'm going to let you answer it today.
All right.
We're going to compare that with your answer 10 years ago.
Okay.
How about that? All right, let's play a little. Here's the question as it came from a listener, 2008, I believe it was.
From the Wine Line, we have this question.
I think my favorite wine would be Honig's Cabernet Sauvignon. And I was wondering if, I find that a little bit pricey, about $25 is a little bit pricey to me. Now, I think Bogle Cabernet Sauvignon is almost as good and about the a third of the price. And I'm just wondering, do you know of any others? Could you recommend anything else that would come close to that?
Whoa.
Oh, my God. That is actually, Kent doesn't know much about wine, but a great way to pull it out.
Honig, is that what he said?
Honig. Michael Honig Wines. Michael Honig Cabernet. He still does. He was a guest on the show a number of times.
Oh, he
was.
Okay.
Mailbox Merlot.
Yeah.
But Bogle back then, you know, high-end, definitely great wine. Still is. But now Bogle has expanded. It's over a 200,000 case winery. Has grown. Both of them still outstanding and excellent. Let's see. Other Cabernets. I would venture, because he liked the Honig and he liked the Bogle, he liked that softer, rounder flavor on Cabernet.
Okay.
I would say look at Washington State, because that's where you could get something in the price point he's looking for today that would be that quality, whether it was Charles Smith, whether it was St. Michelle. I think those would be two good options.
Michael, is that what you think you said back then?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what I said back then.
He doesn't remember.
He didn't remember what he said yesterday.
That's right. You guys don't know how old I am. I have retired four times now, and I've been drugged back into the briar patch each time. I think that big fleshy kind of a style. You know, Walter Raymond made really good quality wines for a long time, and they were the lush style. He might consider. Not sure what I said back in those
days. All right, well, let's go back and let's turn back the clock and see what you guys said and if you would shoot yourselves for saying it now.
I love both those wines. Obviously, Honig Cab is one of my favorites. But yeah, like you, I don't like to spend $25 a night on a bottle of Cabernet to go for dinner. Something along the same region in the same area, I would look for Rodney Strong Cabernet.
Rodney Strong has a great
Cabernet that's under $11 a bottle, and I think you'll find it approachable, and I think you'll find it on par.
Yeah, and Geyser Peak is a couple of dollars more than that, but I think the Geyser Peak wine is quite excellent. It's got a little bit more complexity to it.
All right, that's what you said.
Though. I would stand by mine. I'm not going to stand by Michael's, but I would definitely stand by Rodney Strong. Rodney Strong is still producing quality wines. Great Sonoma, now they've got their Knights Valley Cabernet as well.
Well, you know, and you're right. Rodney Strong is still producing great quality wines, even though he's in the grave. But and to be honest with you, I don't know how Geyser Peak is doing because I just I haven't tasted it in maybe 10 years. I'm going for the better value situation, and I love Tempranillos these days out of Spain. I just think they age and they taste like aged Bordeaux much sooner, so you can get a 3 or 4 year old bottle of wine that's already smooth as silk.
I knew we couldn't get through this without you saying Bordeaux and going across the pond. All right, bros. Well, it's been great having you on the Crush today. I am looking forward to seeing you soon. When we get together, we will settle up that debate. We'll see if we both can pull a bottle out and see what we can get to arguing about.
Hey, that sounds great, Laura. Love to all of you.
Love to you, too. Hey, we're going to take another break here on this anniversary show. When we get back, we will continue to compare and contrast the changes and the differences between 2007 and today.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
If you suffer from heartburn or other digestive-related disorders, then there is a new, safe, better, and natural alternative to better digestive wellness and heartburn relief. Praxid not only provides relief of heartburn, but Praxid takes a 360-degree approach to support better digestion, protect you from harmful bacteria, and also balance your stomach to improve digestive functions.
We like to think of it as the multivitamin of digestive health.
It's the only product to combine all natural ingredients known for the digestive health properties into a single patented product. Praxid also comes in easy-to-carry packs. Praxid relieves, restores, and maintains a healthy digestive system. Praxid is available here for only $39.95. Shipping and handling is free, and your money back is guaranteed.
To take advantage of this special radio offer, call now 1-800-829-5735. That's 1-800-829-5735. Again, 1-800-829-5735.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Call OnCall Pharmacy right now and save as much as $700. 800-884-7919. OnCall Pharmacy delivers the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Call OnCall Pharmacy now and take advantage of this special offer. 800-884-7919. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now. 800-884-7919. 800-884-7919. 800-884-7919.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
We're back with more Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. You are joining us today as part of our 10th anniversary show. Yes, the Wine Crush has been on the air for 10 years. I know that comes as a great shock to someone. Some people, actually several governments and perhaps others. But
some people upstairs too. So
yes, I know. But we have always had fun with it, and we appreciate the support that all of you, our listeners, our great guests, have given us over the years. Of course, great kudos to Michael Ambrose that started out being the co-host of the Wine Crush. We have just really had a lot of fun and covered a lot of ground over these 10 years. And this right here, now let me go ahead and say this. Michael had to move. Michael moved away. We didn't throw him off the show. But when we first started this show 10 years ago, Michael and I were supposed to be point and counterpoint. Yeah. It was supposed to be truly a debate show on the old guard of wine and the new upcomers of wine. And so that right there was entertaining, but Michael was old guard. Michael was the epitome of that refined gentleman you saw sitting at the table. The sommelier would come over. He'd make sure the glasses were polished. He'd make sure that the pour was perfect. He elegant, have his finger out, taste his perfect stemware, and go into a discourse about how wonderful that 1961 Bordeaux was, but it wasn't quite as impeccable as when he had it on the veranda when he was sitting over on the left bank.
And you would come in and beat him up.
And I would come in and beat him up and tell him he was out of touch. And it was people like him who were alienated the rest of us in a wine. If I wanted to sit here and drink my Chardonnay out of a solo cup, I could.
Right.
And it's interesting now that we find the best of both worlds. And I wish I had a crystal ball and hear Michael Ambrose talk about Torontes and Tempranillo. It'd be fun to torture him with that. I will say this. I had some of the finest wines of my life with Mr. Ambrose. So it's great to hear definitely doing well. But again, it's just an homage to how much things have changed in just 10 years in this business. Obviously, touching on the rosés and touching on the fact that we have red blends, and blends are the category. In 2007, a little movie had come out at the end of 2004. I think it came out at Christmas season. And it was a movie called Sideways.
Oh, yes.
And
love the movie.
Sideways and Miles. And actually, the author of the show wound up being a guest on our... You know what?
We did have him on.
I will say this. Top five moments of putting my foot in my mouth on air ever. That's something you should have found.
Oh, so, I wish I could have.
Yes. So the author comes on, and he's discussing the book. Of course, it all came from books, and discussing the movie. And I just get done talking about how much I absolutely despise Miles, the character in the movie.
Yes.
That he is condescending. He's a little snob.
Paul Giamatti plays the role.
Yes. And talked about the fact that Miles single-handedly killed the Merlot varietal. And I said, wherever did you come up with a character that wretched? And there was that pause in that moment. He said, well, it was kind of self-ascribed. It was an autobiographical character. And I just remember I was like a guppy on the other end of the mic.
I thought, okay, lawsuit number three.
And I think you actually broke early because I could not get my feet back from under me. Yeah, so that was great. But no, in 2005, of course, and when we look at the beginning, the mid-2004, 2005, Merlot was on fire. You couldn't plant enough Merlot. You couldn't get enough Merlot around the world. That movie definitely brought Pinot Noir into the spotlight. So in 2007, we were discussing when it came to red wines, nothing but Pinot Noirs. Everything was all about Pinot. And there was a number of us who were concerned that the Pinot Noir would become like the Merlot had. Merlot started out being absolutely spectacular, great single varietal, but it got overplanted. There was some bad stuff coming in from foreign countries. But what I love about 10 years later is that there's absolutely amazing Pinot Noirs. It's still a growth category. And one thing, as Americans, we have learned is the value of location. And that's something that is very, very big from 2007 until today, 2017. Of course, back in 2007, those of us in the, we all knew Napa, we all knew Sonoma. But if we started getting into small little regionals, if we said Rutherford, yes, people understood. But if we discussed Rockpile, or if we talked about Stelling or Styling, those were single AVA places that nobody was understanding. And so 10 years later, we have defined ourselves and are defining our own geography. And I think we had the luxury. Yes, we are many, many centuries behind what's happening in Europe and what is continuing to happen in Europe with the great estates and the great wine dynasties. But we have understood that there's a right place, a right grape, and a right varietal, and we're planting smart. So it will be great to see where we are 10 years from now. So essentially, we look 20 years, we have managed to make the most of what we could. And I love that idea. Here's something interesting, throwing facts and figures at you since we're discussing this. In 2007, there were 5,000 wineries in the United States. 5,000 wineries.
5,000.
At the end of 2016, coming into this year, 9,091 wineries.
Wow.
Now, of course,
wow.
I keep throwing the figure out, 86,000 brands. That's whole different. These are honest-to-God wineries. 5,000 wineries in the United States in 2007, 9,091 wineries in 2017.
Mm.
That, to me, is a testament that people are embracing wine and learning wine, and I think it's absolutely wonderful. It also means we have a lot more tasting at our fingertips, which always makes me happy. We're going to take a break right here. When we get back, we will continue to talk our anniversary show and plan ahead for what's coming on in the next few segments.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
An adult elephant can weigh up to 6 tons. The average person, 150 pounds. Ever heard of carfentanil? It's a large wild animal tranquilizer. Illegal drug dealers lace heroin with it. It can kill the average human. If you or a loved one is addicted to opiates, even pain pills, don't wait until it's too late. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. We care. Many of us have been where you are. We'll take you or a loved one away from the drug environment to a place you can clean out safely. Plus, we'll work with your insurance company to make sure you get the treatment you need. And with a Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed by law to get away for help without telling your employer why. Call now to save a life.
800-915-9734. 800-915-9734. That's 800-915-9734.
The IRS is the most feared agency in the world. You've heard ads from other companies offering to help taxpayers only if they owe over $10,000. Here at Platinum Tax Defenders, we're A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, and we're proud to be one of the only tax firms in the country who understands that people who owe less than $10,000 need help just as badly. The IRS doesn't care how much money you owe. They'll still garnish your wages and even seize your assets. So whether you owe just a few thousand dollars or hundreds of thousands, call now for your free tax consultation. If you qualify, we may even be able to reduce your tax debt down to a small fraction of what you owe. So don't wait until the IRS seizes your property and garnishes your wages. Call 800-856-1330 and get your tax problem resolved once and for all. That number again is 800-856-1330. 800-856-1330.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration, a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important, and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Welcome back for more of the Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
Welcome back to the Crush. Today is just flying by. We are actually doing our 10th anniversary Wine Crush today. For those of you following and have started off with this, this is going to be a two-segment show. We would certainly love to be able to air all 2 hours, but I don't think our affiliates nor Port Kent can stand it. So definitely stay on with us. We are going to be having Dan Cohn, formerly of B. Arco, now with Dan Cohn, Richard Haight, great chef, joining us, and of course, continuing to look at over the changes. Now, of course, I'd love to have you part of this. Whether we go to Facebook, go to Wine Crush Radio, let me know where you were in 2007 and what changes you have seen. Or also, let's get it started on Twitter. Let's figure out what the differences are. Wine Crush Radio, what has changed, what hasn't? Now, here's something I'm going to espouse all the way through the show, for the most part, are going to be the great, amazing, positive changes we've seen in 10 years. But for those of you out there, you know, you can't keep everybody happy. So what have you seen that's degraded in 10 years? What are some things you have gone away from that you would like to see come back? What would you like to see about wine hospitality? Love to get into that conversation. Obviously, it's great to think about the good things we've done, but as we all know, the bad things are around the corner. It does happen that way. All right, so a quick note, obviously 5,000 brands in the U.S. in 2007, 9,091 now in 2017. All right, so get this. Here's a number that can really put this in perspective. In 2007, there were $30.4 billion spent on wine revenue. So $30.4 billion spent in 2007. The numbers are still going in. They're still being processed. But early estimates have it that we have spent $60 billion on wine in 2016. So they're expecting to have a 1 to 2% growth in 2017. So that will put us somewhere, I don't know, $61 billion in wine for us this year. I love it. We're going to continue to take a good look at this. So stay with us, stay on the Crush. And if you are downloading it, please, by all means, make sure you get both shows back to back. There's much more fun to be had.